Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Women Leading the Way Radio Show, where each time you'll hear from successful women CEOs, executives, and professionals, where we'll discover how they do what they do to be successful in business. We'll be interviewing women who have overcome big challenges, women who have incredible stories of lessons learned in dealing with adversity. We'll even interview women who have started and grown successful organizations and women who are C-level executives with unique talents and positions. Our goal is to bring successful businesswomen together to share how they're leading the way in business today. Hey, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Women Lead Radio, brought to you by Connected Women of Influence. I'm Michelle Berquist, your humble host today for Women Lead Radio, and with me today is our leading lady, Dot Callahan, who is the founder, get this, listeners, the woman in the room. And so I have been getting Dot's emails for quite some time, and she's got some fabulous articles, because our topic today is the power of the female perspective, hence the woman in the room. So Dot, welcome to our show today, and say hello to all of our listeners.
Hi, everyone.
I love having you on the show because I know you've got quite the perspective here of the female perspective, which is that I think for you, what I loved about your newsletters and the things you say is that, you know, there's just a different perspective women should have about being the woman in the room because you came from such a male-dominated industry. Can you just kind of share a little bit, you know, about your background and how the woman in the room came about with, you know, with what you talk on and speak on and write on?
Oh, well, I've been in basically all male environments since I was 18. I went to school at Virginia Tech and studied engineering, but I was also in Air Force ROTC. So when you're in ROTC, you have to be a member of the Virginia Tech Corps of Cadets. During my freshman year, they disbanded the all-female unit and integrated us in with the guys and all of their traditions, mm-hmm. And I started out as the only female upperclassman with 50 guys, but that kind of set the tone for the rest of my career. After I graduated, I went into the Air Force and was in facilities management and eventually transferred over to construction. But pretty much throughout my career, I say whenever I went to a meeting, I was the woman in the room. There were no other women. Most of the women I've worked with have been, you know, secretaries and admins and people like that. Only in, I'd probably say the last 10 years have I really had some women that I supervise. But as I said, when I go to a meeting at work, I am the one and only woman. I was
the woman in the room.
The woman
now
in
I
the room.
Now I get the story. I get the story behind it. But, you know, I'm curious on this one because I came from commercial banking. That was my corporate career. And at that time, it's like, you know, women were in middle management, you know, supervisory positions. But for you, I mean, what was it like, I guess, I mean, for your behavior as a woman and how you acted and performed, what was it like to be the only woman in the room? I mean, how did you adapt your behavior? I know those are some of the things that you write about, but what are some pieces of advice you would say to other women that are in male-dominated industries? Because it is a different way to kind of behave and act. Is it or is it not? I'm kind of curious.
Let me put it this way. When I started working, it was back in 1982, and, you know,
One more time, Dot. Sorry, I think
yes,
I'm
and
not
men know
hearing
what
you.
They're doing, and oh, can you hear me?
Yeah, there you go.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. When I began working, you know, it was, you know, women. You're going into the man's world, and men are really good at business, and you've got to fit into their way of doing it. And my very first workplace, I went in, and my honest response was, "What the hell? I thought you guys knew what you were doing. This is insane." And I was like, you guys, there's just inefficiency everywhere. There's chaos and crisis management. I'm not going to work like this. And the best way for me to describe it is to say that I always felt like they were missing on doing things. And I coined this term, and I started calling everything Swiss cheese. Everything that the guys did was Swiss cheese. It was never complete. And that's what led to the inefficiency and chaos. So I just always spent a lot of time not trying to outdo what my male colleagues were doing. I let them do what they were doing, and I just started filling in all of the Swiss cheese holes. And as soon as I started doing that, our performance soared. And I did that through every single workplace that I went through. And it took me years. It took me actually over 20 years to realize that what I was doing was I was filling in those holes with female traits. And when I realized that, I sat down and wrote down what everything that the men did that I would then counter in some way with female traits. So,
and I know you've got some of those kind of like pieces of advice. What are, I mean, can you share just maybe a few of what the female versus male traits are and how they're so distinct and different? I know you have some information on your website about that, which I thought was fascinating, the colors and whatnot. Can you share a little bit about those elements, the traits of females versus men?
Yeah, I mean, they're all kind of interconnected. The most, when you go into the male-dominated workplace, the most important trait that nobody talks about, I call it autonomy. Men believe that when they become adults, they are now empowered to do what they want, how they want, the way they think is best. And they carry that into the workplace. And if you really look at the way men operate, you know, they don't coordinate, they don't follow up, you know, a task, people are given their task and they go off and do it the way they think is best. And what happens is when you try to bring the bigger task back together, it's like all the pieces don't fit and you wind up with a lot of chaos and crisis. I guess I have some examples on my website, but men just believe that they can go off and do things the way they think is best without any type of coordination and collaboration. And when you're in the construction industry, that's a really big problem.
I mean,
because everything we do is about, you know, you have to coordinate and collaborate on everything. And when that doesn't happen, you wind up with chaos. Women, on the other hand, we're used to working in groups. And that's the way we naturally work. Some of the other things are, it almost sounds stereotypical, but men, you know, are single task focused. And because they are, they really concentrate on being experts in certain fields. Women multitask. And when I talk about multitasking, it's not about women doing two or three jobs at once. It's really about us being able to manage multiple tasks, which makes us perfect, absolutely perfect for being middle managers. When you really understand how women multitask, you understand why women excel so much in middle management.
And I got a question for you. I mean, and again, I think this is conversation and this is opinions. We're making big generalizations because I do know among our listeners, there's probably some women going, what? That's not me. That's not it. I you know, women see themselves as leaders. But, you know, I do hear from women because, I run a women's association. And it's interesting because women will say, you know, I'm doing what all these leadership programs have said. I read the book Lean In. I'm leaning in. I'm practicing some of the behaviors that I was taught. And, you know, I know there's this big stuff out there that talks about the patriarch society within the business and industry, you know, kind of world. So I'm curious from your perspective, I mean, is kind of your philosophy that women should more be filling in, you know, their behavior, like when you visualize the Swiss cheese and they adapt, or is it that women can take on certain behaviors and get different results? I'm not quite sure how does the Swiss cheese work when you're a woman in the room? Give me some ideas there.
let me explain it to you this way. We're all taught that when we go out into the business world or out into the world that we have to adopt male traits. We've all heard, you know, if you want to get ahead in business, you need to man up. Men set the standard. Men, you know, men are more aggressive, men are this way. You know, we all know the long list of what we're taught. And what we're taught is we're taught to act like men because, as I said earlier, you know, men set the standard and men are supposedly good at business. There's a Chinese, old Chinese proverb that says, women hold up half the sky. And when I found that a couple years ago, and that's what really clicked with me, is that we've been taught that men hold up the entire sky. And so as women, if we're going to go out into the business world, we have to shove a man aside and we got to grab a piece of their sky for ourselves because then we got to compete with men. What this proverb is saying is that, no, ladies, we don't have to do that. There's another half of the sky that's been laying on the ground for centuries that we're not lifting up. And there's nothing there that is stopping us from lifting up our half of the sky. And when I talk about filling in the Swiss cheese holes, I'm talking about lifting up our half of the sky. But we've never been taught how to do that. We're not even taught what that means. When I found the proverb, I also found an article written by, I believe her name is Barbara Spraker, and it's by the same title, Women Hold Up Half the Sky. And what she does is she uses the analogy of the yin and yang. And what she says there is that if you examine the yin and the yang, the male and the female, they're always constantly interacting, and they have complementary traits. And when you get the yin and the yang interacting, it's very responsive and things work smoothly and properly. And that's what fit in with me, and I'm saying when you fill in the Swiss cheese holes, now you're working with wholeness and completeness. You're not working, you know, things aren't clunking along like they do in a lot of workplaces. So my whole point is that, you know, as women, we don't need to adopt male traits. We don't need to compete with men. What we have to do is actually be exactly who we are. And anything that we feel like we have to suppress, we should be bringing forward because those traits are necessary and very valuable in the workplace, especially a more male-dominated workplace.
Well, can you go, like you say, you were for most of your career, it sounds like, were the woman in the room, which I love that phrase, by the way. What are some behaviors or things that you learned to do to be, you know, holding up the other half of the sky and, you know, making sure that you were being, you know, filling in on those Swiss cheese elements that weren't there? Because I'm thinking, give me something tactical. Like, what were some of the things you adopted or acted on that allowed you to be successful within a male-dominated situation? Do you have some maybe slices of advice or suggestions on that?
Yeah, part of it, a lot of it was coordinating work. I worked all on projects, and projects are very complex. There's a lot of different pieces and parts that have to come together. You know, when you design something, it's every aspect of the building has to come together. I'll use that as an example. When we design a building, we have the architects go off and do their part. We have electrical engineers. We have structural engineers. We have mechanical engineers. And they all go off into their own design area, and they design the building from that perspective. And then what happens is they all bring it together, and there's a lot of coordination issues. This is one of the biggest reasons why construction projects get into so much trouble is because you have mechanical items clashing with structural items. You have, you know, plumbing items, you know, clashing with mechanical. You have all of these, they call them conflicts. And what's missing is all of the integration and coordination of bringing together the architectural, the structural, the electrical, the mechanical. Trying to bring all of that together is very difficult, and men really, really, really struggle with that. And it's one of the big things that I was always heavily involved with was doing with coordinating activities. When we go out into the construction field and we're trying to build a project, where all of the conflict is always found is where we're trying to bring two different trades together. Again, it's we're trying to run ductwork through a structural truss, and the truss isn't big enough. It's always points of conflict because men go off and they look at things single task. They're autonomous and they don't bring things back together. So one of the greatest things that women do is integration and coordination and collaboration.
And let me, I hope this is okay to kind of throw this at you a little bit. So for our listeners, one of the things, so we'll try this. I'm going to do this as like a, hey, what do you think about this? Because I hear women all the time who will say, I'm in a meeting thing, and, either it's like a brainstorming session or people are looking for ways to blah, 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 save costs, increase revenue, whatever the team meeting is, if it's a management meeting or a leadership meeting or whatever. And women will say, I speak up. It's like I bring up ideas, and it's like I'm not even heard. And then all of a sudden, it's like one of my coworkers or colleagues will bring up something. Everybody goes, oh, what a great idea. So, in that scenario, would you have any suggestion of what maybe a woman could do to be heard and understood a little differently? Because that is one thing that I hear over and over from women, even at the executive and, VP level or above in senior management. What would be some tactics that you would recommend?
Yeah, that's what you asked me about was, I call it using the power seat. There's, if you go on my website, two of the very first articles I ever wrote about, it's called, I think it's like Understanding the Power Seat and Using the Power Seat. There's a chair in each conference room that's a very powerful chair to sit in. And when you're sitting in, I find them immediately now. It's a trick I learned back in the Air Force. And when you're sitting in that chair, you can command the entire room. So if you're not getting your thoughts heard from that chair, you can literally stand up and take command of the entire room. And it's finding in each conference room, it's going to be a little bit different. But the way you find it is you go to the head of the table, and you, whichever side the door is on, you draw a line from the head of the table over to the wall. You then look down, and it's going to be either the first or second seat back. But if you're sitting at the head of the table, there's a chair along the side of the wall that's going to always be in the peripheral vision of the person that's sitting at the head of the table. Now, I know we're all told, oh, you want to sit at the head of the you want to sit at the table. I never sit at the table if I absolutely have. If I don't have to, I don't sit there. If I have to sit at the table, I always push back. I'm always pushing my chair back. And the reason is because I want to be able to read the room. I am looking for what's the energy of the room, what's everybody doing, what's everybody saying. When you're reading the room, you're watching, and you can see a lot of good ideas being pushed down because somebody has a bigger mouth and is overpowering other people. And so when you come out of these meetings, you're never coming out with the best solution. You're coming out with, again, a Swiss cheese solution. If you're sitting in that power seat, there's a point usually where the noise dies down. And what you can do from that seat is you can kind of raise your hand. This is if you're not used to using it. You can raise your hand. You're already in the periphery vision of the person sitting at the head of the table and say, wait a second, I have a question. I want to bring up what Bob said. Bob had a very good point that we're now missing over, and also Jim. And what you can do if you're sitting along the wall is now you can stand up. If you're sitting at the table, you can never stand up. If you're sitting along the wall, you can now stand up and you say, let's talk about this, and you basically take over and you start facilitating a new conversation. Because all the guys are doing is they're sitting there at the table competing, trying to compete to have their one idea heard, and the other guys are lining up with them to
I can totally visualize it. I can totally visualize what you're saying. I'm watching the men trying to take their place in the room, one up each other. And you're saying to the woman, don't do that. You can do some other tactics to be heard and be understood. That's amazing.
Yeah, and I've after I learned to use it, there's a story I wound up having being sent to a meeting. And so I go to this meeting, and I was going to sit in the power seat. And I walk in, and there's a guy sitting in the power seat. And he knew how to use the power seat. And I was like, dang you, you're taking my space. And so at the next meeting, I showed up 15 minutes early, and I got that power seat. He walked in, he looked at me, and he was like, and he gave me a dirty look. And I'm like, yeah, now I'm going to use it. So after that meeting, we both laughed and we said, and what we agreed to was that we then created two power seats, and he and I worked every single meeting from then on. He and I worked it together to make sure that we kept the meetings, we kept all of the ideas that were in the meeting, we kept them coming out, and we didn't allow good ideas to get suppressed. Because that's what happens in a lot of these meetings. So you can't do that if you're sitting at the table.
Yeah, no, good advice. I mean, I know you. Well, and, you know, again, with you being in the male-dominated industry, I'm kind of curious, like, you know, give us something else. What else you got as a secret sauce to some of this? Because I've always heard, you know, you can't always sit at the head of the table, but, you know, never. I mean, you're totally anti what the Lean In book was saying, which is, you know, take your seat at the table. You're saying, no way, sit around the outer rim.
Cool.
You got more control. You can stand up. That's amazing. And that you've used it is even more interesting.
Mm-hmm.
We've only got a few minutes left, Dot, but I'm curious if any of our listeners want to raise their hands and reach you. It's like, how do you want people to connect with you? Do you want to lead people to your website, or can you share how you want to be connected to or communicated with if people want to reach you?
Yeah, if you go to my website, www.thewomaninthe.com, there's a contact page, and you can send me an email on that. You can subscribe to my my articles that I do once a week. Yeah, and that's the best way. You can send me emails. I get a lot of emails.
Yeah.
I do take a very different approach to it, because I don't believe that we should be out, you know, going out there and trying to compete with men. One, we're never going to outman a man. And number two, a room full of men doesn't need another man. It needs everything that is missing. It needs the female energy that's going to make it whole and complete. And there's a lot of other things that come out of this too. We got 1 minute. The way I started on all this was I started trying to implement a systems approach. And for anybody out there that works with Lean, that understands Lean and understands some of the difficulties a lot of workplaces have in implementing. It used to be called TQM. Now it's called Lean and Kaizen.
Okay.
You cannot implement those without female traits. And I've got the industry is actually waiting for my book, because I've got them almost convinced that the reason that they're struggling with implementing Lean is because they're trying to use a male approach when they need to come and talk to all of us women.
I'll be darned. I love that. I love that part. Well, you know, I mean, going into another piece, and this is like the big kahuna in the room, it's like this wasn't even really part of what I think the woman in the room is, but, you know, you say women shouldn't compete with men. It's like, but I find that so many women just, they're horrible to other women. You know, I mean, it's the woman-to-woman thing. You know, you get one woman in the room, but if there's two or three or whatever, it's like this vying for position or stature or title is a whole other element. I mean, do you have any thoughts on, you know, women really being, I guess, better advocates for other women, you know, and not being so competitive and mean-spirited, you know, for other women? Or maybe you don't see that, but I sure have in my background, and I hear about it from women. What are your thoughts on that?
No, I've seen it, and I recently experienced it. But I also recently, it's one of those things that became, you know, am I like way off base? Because women are so mean to women. And when I sit down and I write in detail about what I call the female traits, they are very, there's a lot of women that will go, well, I'm not like that, or women, other, you know, women aren't like that. The problem is a lot of women in business have been taught to act like men. We think we have to compete. And so, and I mean, I found myself like this too. Is I was getting all these messages that I have to compete. So when I see another woman, and when you're, it's almost like when you're the only woman, you have a little bit of an advantage, and you recognize that. So when another woman comes in, she's now suddenly a bigger, more of a competition to you than another man. And so because you've been trained to act like a man and think like a man, you think you have to compete. And so you've got to take that person out. You've got to take out that other woman. And that's where women go wrong. And I caught myself having those same thoughts every once in a while, and I switched them off, and it became, wait a second, I'm going to treat her like a woman, and it was a totally different dynamic. We don't have time to go into it, but the first time I was out on a project where we actually had one-third of our staff was women. It was a completely different project than any other project I've ever been on, and it's where I really learned the power of being women and of acting like women. And I did a lot of experimenting on that job. But the other women and I learned, we all had to unlearn how to stop acting like men and to give ourselves permission to act like women, bring out our female traits. And when we did that, our relationships changed. I had, just real quickly, I had two women that were constantly fighting each other. I mean, we're talking, it was ugly. And I told the one woman, I said, you know, I've been to the other woman's house, and everybody says, you know, treat her like a man. She's more like a man than she is a woman. I went to her house. She's a girly girl. She's more of a girl than I am. Treat her like a girl. Within 3 months, those two women were best friends, and they remained really close friends for years. Unfortunately, one of them passed away a couple months ago. But it was just an experience where we learned that we don't have to act like men, and if we act like women, my gosh, it's a wonderful experience.
Well, and my hope is that, you know, someday we can make the whole gender thing, you know, and how people behave and act and get results in the workplace can be like a non-issue. But, you know, it's not for today. And I know we've only got a minute like left. I'm curious for you, because you shared with me on the phone earlier, you were saying that you are working on a new book. So tell us about the future for you. And that's going to be our wrap up, because I'm going to ask you to leave us on a high note. But what's the future like? You're working on a book. Share with us a little bit about that. You're going to collect all of your tactics and techniques and tips and share that.
Yes, the book is actually really written in three sections. The first section is the value of being a woman in the workplace, and it's really going down through what I call the balance and characteristics, and understanding what characteristics that women need to can bring out that are 100% natural, that we can bring out into the workplace, and we can see, and they're very valuable, and what they do is they really transform the workplace. The second section is talking about the male-dominated workplace and talking about how it functions and the way men think and really understanding how they operate and dispelling a lot of myths. And then the third section is how to be the woman in the room, how to be a woman, and I address a lot of issues, you can implement lean and how you can implement systems. I talk about how to get attention, how to get recognition for yourself, how to make sure that, you know, when you do something really good and you're proud of it, how to make sure your whole workplace knows without being boastful. I'm going to talk about, you know, discrimination and sexual harassment and bullying, things like that. But it's really how to be a woman in the workplace and really passing on a lot of my lessons learned about how to be successful and what we need to do. Yes.
I can't wait until we see when your book is out. And I'm going to have to say that's a wrap for us. But I want to say thank you for being on Women Lead Radio today. You've been an awesome guest, and I can't wait till your book comes out. And thank you for being our leading lady. To our listeners, we always love when you listen into Women Lead Radio. And we're going to be back again next week, where I'm delighted to say our new leading lady next week will be Lynn Hajar, who is the president and the CEO of iBiz 247, and our topic is going to be on navigating global business. So everyone have a great week. We thank you for listening. And again, as I always like to say, please go out there and support and empower one another as women. Have a great weekend.
Women Leading the Way is produced by Connected Women of Influence, the premier private membership organization where like-focused, business-to-business executive and professional women connect, collaborate, and cultivate a vast network of high-level affiliations, resources, and professional relationships. For more information about Connected Women of Influence, please visit our website at connectedwomenofinfluence.com.